Hey guys, welcome to Broad Street to Britain, a UK Phillies podcast with me, Dave Shaw, and I am joined by Ryan again. Two in a row, Ryan. How's it going, buddy?
How's it going? Here we go. Phillies, what a weekend.
What a weekend. We're going to dive into that Padres series very shortly, and then we'll be previewing the Brewers, big series of the Brewers coming up as well. We'll have Mark from the UK Brew Crew joining us to preview that as well. But as Ryan just said, what a weekend. Insane. I am tired. I watched unintentionally every pitch. I was gripped by the whole series. I was in a training course today with 4 hours sleep. That's all I could think about was the Phillies. Made so many notes, rushed out to be here to record this pod, and left all my notes at work. So we're ad-libbing today. I couldn't even do the recap. I recorded 4 or 5 versions of the series recap, and I couldn't fit it all in, Ryan. It was just so much happened. Ryan, first of all, your thoughts on what a huge series win that was.
Oh, it was massive. I mean, to have lost the first game in the manner we did, which was basically predicted by our friend Alex, Christopher yes. Sanchez, he did get lit up, like, just as he said he would. But to then come back and do what they did in the manner that they did in what was, you know, mainly close games. Let's be honest, the Padres yep. were really, really competitive, and they had to fight from behind, and they had to scratch, and they had to claw. They've done it on a weekend when the Marlins have stunk the place up, when the Reds have stunk the place up. They've actually made some significant inroads this weekend. That was really, really exciting stuff.
Yeah, that was the cherry on the cake, wasn't it? And now, all of a sudden, the Phillies are within one game of top spot in the wild card. You know, the Marlins have come right back to the Phillies. The Reds have come right back. The Giants are still doing their thing right now. The Braves lost their series to the White Sox. Who saw that coming?
And no, yeah, it's huge. It's huge. The Giants are the surprising package, aren't they? They're finding a way to just keep winning. 5 in a row they've won.
And the thing is, for the Phils, the NL Central and the NL West being so close, they keep taking games off each other. The D-backs got swept. They've lost 4 straight. They're coming back towards the Phils as well. And not only that, but the Phils have pretty much kicked the Padres out of contention. They're a long way back now, especially with how close it is. And the Mets as well. God, talk about stinking. The Mets had an absolute stinker as well at the weekend. And them and the Padres are now 8.5, 9 games back. That's a huge margin. I know it's still a lot of baseball to be played, but with how close it is, they've got a lot of ground to make up. I think it's just too much for them to do. But let's start game one on the Friday. The Phils lose at 8-3. Sanchez, he only allowed 3 hits, and he only allowed 3 earned runs. So really, 5 innings. Did the fifth start roll fine? Yeah, he allowed 3 hits, allowed 3 earned runs, didn't strike out too many. Struck out 5 actually. Actually, it wasn't a bad outing for a fifth starter. Unfortunately, the bullpen wasn't as solid as we're used to it being. They kept leaking runs. The Phils just couldn't get going until the ninth. And like Alex said in the last pod, just one of those lackluster performances, one of those rusty, shaky post All-Star games.
It's never. It's not going to be easy. You come out against Yu Darvish on the sort of first night back after the All-Star. It's going to be tough. You're right. Sanchez did okay. He gave up a couple of long balls, which is a bit of a problem for him. But you're right. He did all right. You just worried though, didn't you? You've got 4 games coming up over the weekend that are going to shape the second half of the season. And when you lose the first one quite comfortably, there was a bit of me that thought, oh, here we go again. This is going to be a tough weekend.
Yeah, mate, me too. And I think a lot of Twitter was as well. A lot of social media was. You know, we'd been beat to the Marlins the series before. We've come out the blocks very, very slow. And yeah, a part of me was like, well, the only thing I was clinching onto was the Phils got swept against the Cubs last year post All-Star break. And it's like, well, you know, that's the only thing I had, because the Phils just didn't look interested. It was just a lackluster performance. But Saturday, what a Saturday. One of the best doubleheaders. They're only their third doubleheader sweep in the last 31 doubleheaders. That's, wow. It doesn't usually go well for the Phils and doubleheaders. But this was one of the best two free games, including last night, that all season, without a doubt. And probably in the last couple of years, it was so much fun. Like you said, the fightings. You know, the fighting Phils, never say die. Showed real grit, because that Padres offense is good, and they've been way below par before the All-Star break. Coming out of the All-Star break, they were smashing bombs. You know, their big hitters were doing the business for them. Their starting pitching was pretty decent as well. So that was a Padres team who I thought was better than what they were pre All-Star break. So that was we went back to back with them, toe to toe, you know, and it was just great to see us. The first game, 3-0 down, Trey Turner, the error, and you're thinking straight away, oh, here we go again. We lost last night. We're now, Turner's made an error. They got 3 runs off that. It was the alarm bells were starting to ring.
It wasn't scored as an error, that.
No, yeah.
I can't believe it. Anyway.
Crazy scoring that the MLB are doing this year. Yeah, it was. And then all 3 runs, of course, are charged to Ranger Suarez. Turner misjudgment. That caused a lot of stir on social media. In the heat at the moment, Trey said himself that he should have gone to first, but he thought that the runner was a lot quicker than what he was going to first. So, the thing is, he'd already ran past the second base, flipping it to Sosa. Sosa was clearly adamant that he was going to first base. Bad baseball all round. But at the time, it was a big moment in the game, especially with the 3 runs that followed. But, yeah, it sparked some big debate on social media.
Well, I had my say on this on the Facebook group. I understand baseball's bang bang, and I get that, and it was happening quickly, and the runner was quick down first. I still think, I've watched it back a few times, no matter what Trey said afterwards, and I do forgive him, by the way. I'm not one of these to sort of I'm not holding a beef against anyone long term. He's a Philly, I support him. But I do think there was a little bit of arrogance in what he did. I don't think it was totally just, well, I just did it in the moment. I think it was it looked a little cocky to me, and I've watched it a few times and I stand by it. I just don't think it should be done at that point, you know, backflipping it. Like it was a little nonchalant. It looks cool when it comes off, but it was a big moment in a very close game. And it's not like we're 25 games over 500. You know what I mean? That's the way I view it. He's struggling with a bat as well, a little bit for him by his standards. So just do everything that you can to stay out of the headlines for the wrong reasons is basically my advice. Just do the basics.
The replays did him no favors, because actually he had quite a bit of time to get that ball to first base as well. But Trey also bounced back magnificently.
He got a crucial RBI, didn't he?
Huge RBI. And to be fair, Trey, he got on base in the space of the next 2 games. He got 2 out of 4 with 2 walks, got on base 4 times, huge RBI, 2 stolen bases, some fantastic defense after that. So he knew straight away he'd balled up, but he did make up for it. And it was a shame, because it was right after the magic play by Johan Rojas. What a debut. You know, and by the way, thanks for the Phils for making 20 minutes of our last podcast completely irrelevant. None of us called that.
Not even Alex the Guru. I tell you now that
you know, we were there discussing Kingery and Weston Wilson for 20 odd minutes, and then they call up Drew Ellis and Johan Rojas.
I couldn't actually believe that he had time still to get the guy at first, because it looked like he'd almost stopped playing in the outfield when he caught that ball. Yeah. Not in a bad way. Just in a sort of. He looked so like he'd done a really great play already, and he looked like he'd finished. And then he realized very quickly that he still had time. I can't believe he still had time. What a throw.
I remember watching it live, and when he made the play, because he looked real relaxed. Like, played the play. And I thought he was just throwing it back into play. I thought the runner had gone back to first already, but then all of a sudden the ball kept going. It just sailed over the cutoff man to first base. Then you see Drew Ellis coming into shot, diving in, getting Kim out. What a moment. Unreal. It's just a shame that it was top of the first and the ballpark was still relatively half full, because that would have brought the place down, because the noise as it was incredible. And it was just what a way to mark your moment, mark your debut like that. And the catch itself was magnificent, you know, off the fence. At first I thought he hadn't got it. I was a bit confused. Just, and again, he flashed the glove for the rest of the other two games after and last night. Johan Rojas, we were told in the minors, he's got great defense, great speed. He's a plus defender, and just unbelievable that game. And yeah, like I said, just a shame that then what happened in the second inning followed and Phils went 3-0 down. But Ryan, it didn't matter because the Phils were fighting back. Brandon Marsh got a huge double, RBI, set the tone. Schwarber, what a series. Kyle Schwarber had the first of three big home runs in the series. And then the Phils tied it up 3-3. And you're thinking, here we go, momentum back. And then, of course, the Phils allowed another one, 4-3 down. And then a big moment in the game for me is the introduction. And a fair play to Topper, who brought in Stott and Harper as pinch runners, you know, and pinch hitters. Because it was big in the game, because there was no room for him, because Stubbs had to come in and play left field in the end. You know, Topper went all out, 4-3 down, and it was a big moment because the series sort of hinged on that. And Stott came up, the crowd lifted straight away as soon as Stott's, you know, entrance music, okay, comes on, the crowd sing with it, the energy rises, Stott does the job, up comes Bryce Harper, the quickest dash to first base of the season, ran out that single. Ties the game again, and then the Phils take the lead as Schwarber and Trey add on. And it was just, I just felt at that moment, the Stott and Bryce at bats in that series changed the whole complexion of the series.
Yeah, it was great. And I knew when Harper tied it, I was thinking, we got to take the lead now. It's always one of those, isn't it? You know, you can feel it in your bones that you have to take the lead as well. Like you've already got them on the ropes, and that's exactly what they did. It was just Schwarber did great there in that at bat as well. What a great moment to come back. And I think that, and the way that they did it, overcoming a few sort of not perfect baseball in the game, but with some big plays as well. I thought that really set the tone for the rest of the series. That was like boom, like huge. We're on it now. The confidence was there. The crowd were loving it. Brilliant.
Yeah, and not only that, but Schwarber and Trey doing finally what we've been hoping they would be doing all season from the one and two spots and cashing in on some big clutch runs. And it's like Trey made up for that mistake, error, whatever you want to call it. Sosa did well as well. He also made up for it because his hitting streak continued. And Craig Kimbrell saved 15 on the season. Again, a little bit jittery. The nerves were there. It's never straightforward with the Phils, but Craig Kimbrell, Ryan, like, what more do you say about this guy? Game one of that, then last night's game as well. Just unreal. Unreal. It's so weird Kimbrell's to have a feeling of when Kimbrell comes in. I feel relaxed. I feel safe. I feel like I'm going to hold on. It's such a weird feeling.
You don't always want to make comparisons, but you do naturally as a fan. He does have that sort of Brad Lidge sort of vibe, that the veteran that's been there and done it before, but's come in and just sort of absolutely nailing down the ninth. And long may it continue, because he's enjoying himself. He looks right as a Philly. He looks right.
He really looks like does.
He gets the pressure. It is pressure. Closing for the Phillies is that's a pressure job in base. It's not any closing job in baseball's hard, but closing for the Phillies with the expectant fan base and the big media circus that surrounds him, that's a big job. And he is taking it on his shoulders. Boy, has he.
Incredible. And he seems to thrive under the pressure. He's a madman. The pressure's there. Because not only that, every time he comes in, it's close games. Real close games. And, you know, he's there. Cool as you like. You know, he's taking these pitch violations. How many has he had this season? You know, he's nearly in double figures for pitch violations. He doesn't care. Palms it off. He rises to the crowd, the energy. I just, you know, long may it continue. I pray he does. Even if it's just 1 year, even if it's just this year of prime Craig Kimbrell, and it gets us back to the postseason and beyond, I'm cash it in and take it now, because it's, I just wonder, is this going to last all season? I'm a little bit nervous about that still, but huge win, took us into game three. And it was, it's usually one of those games where the Phils would slip up. Game two is always, especially when they have a pitcher whose ERA is in the sixes. We've got a bad tendency of making these guys look like all-stars. But the Phils, again, started slow. Walker started slow. Real bad first inning, allowed a run, a big pitch count. Eased his way in nicely. The Padres took a 2-0 lead. And then again, Bryce Harper then broke the drought and again set the tone. You talk about big moments in the season. That at bat from Bryce Harper, huge. The home run monkey off his back. And from then on, he looked completely loose, far better at the plate. You just knew at that moment, his first home run since the middle of May, that Bryce was back.
It looks like it. I mean, you hope the power's there. I mean, he's hitting for average. He's getting on base. He's everything that you want him to be. He still looks the part. And I have no doubts, especially if those around him are start. If Turner and Schwarber get hot as well, then really the sky's the limit, because Harper is just one of the best players in baseball. And you can't deal with him at the best of times. But if people around him start to get hot, then the opposition has no choice but to pitch him where they don't really want to pitch him. And if you're pitching him where you don't really want to pitch him, you're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, and especially with them Bone behind him, Stott behind him, who had another great series. Bryson Stott is just, he's just been unbelievable this season. That was Bryce Huff, by the way, over 20, what's he on now? 26 RBIs. You know, he's missed the majority of the season. And even when he's been back, he's not been fully healthy. 26 RBIs, a home run now. It has hopefully got him going with there. So many extra bases for Bryce, you know, giving us far more production than what we even hoped for so far this season. It's been an unreal effort from what he's come through and the surgery he had. I'm just so pleased for Bryce. And that was huge. And then the next inning, of course, in the fifth, Kyle Schwarber obliterated that home run. Moonshot, free run shot, put the Phillies back in front. Kyle Schwarber, another huge bomb last night as well. Three Schwarber bombs in three games running. Kyle just looked alive in that series, Ryan.
Yeah, I wonder what he's been doing over the All-Star break. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's just relaxed a little. Maybe he's been working on something. I don't know. He's such a good baseball player. You can't stay cold for long. I do think that the batting average is often deceiving with him. He's had moments in his career where his batting average has been pretty weak, but normally through that, he is getting on base and he's hitting for power. Now, the power is there, 25 home runs. So it's easy to look at him and go, oh, he's hitting 189. He must be having a terrible season. Well, actually, in reality, that's still not a terrible, it's not, you know, I'd prefer him to be hidden higher, but forget the average for a minute. He's hit 25 home runs. He will still get on base. So it's production from the leadoff spot that not a lot of clubs can rely on, and we can, and it will only get better, I think, between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, again, Schwarber looks like the reins have come off, haven't they? He looks far more relaxed. And for Kyle as well, you know, it's crazy. The amount, our record since putting him back at leadoff. And I remember at the start of the season, everyone's going, no, Kyle cannot lead off. Put Stott there. Put Turner there. Anyone but Kyle Schwarber. He needs to cash in. And then Kyle just put him back at leadoff. Everyone's going, oh, this ain't going to work. And the stats have spoke for themselves. You know, the Phils keep winning with Kyle Schwarber with his average of what? 1.189. That leadoff, it's just, and Trey Turner, second hole, average 0.249. It's just, and yet the Phils are just on this incredible roll right now. It's incredible. It really is. It's just, where else would this work? Great to see Pilati back, by the way, as well. Hopefully he can start playing a big part in that bullpen as well, especially while we still miss Alvarado and Dominguez. And then quickly, last night's game, Oh, man. I was hoping for an early night after the last two nights of baseball, but no. 3 hour delay, but absolutely worth it. Oh, and by the way, before we get into game three, I've missed a big part out. Johan Rojas! How can we forget? First multi-hit game, first multi-RBI game, first stolen base, first outfield assist, ticked off every first except a home run. Johan Rojas with the bat in defense. What a Saturday that was for Mr. Rojas.
Well, yeah, and they're gonna need him because now we know that Pache is hurt and it doesn't look good, which is a shame because he's been a nice pickup and, you know, starting to think his career was taking an upward turn for him, but also for the Phils. But with sadness comes opportunity, and it looks Rojas is hopefully going to take that, you know, and run with it. And even if that's just a couple of weeks up and then someone else comes and does a bit of work for us as well because he needs to go and get some work in AAA, that's great because you're seasoning a young guy, you're giving him the Philadelphia experience, and he's growing with confidence all the time. It was so great to see some of the veterans out there. I mean, they were patting him on the back. They were Nick Castellanos was, you know, really pumped when he made that play in game two.
Yep.
That's great. That is taking the young guys under your wing and making them feel like a part of the big league club. And that's huge.
Yeah, and the vibes we saw last year in October look back, didn't they? They really do genuinely look there. They look like they do love each other, don't they? The chemistry's great. And yeah. Rojas, yet again from the Phils, they're bringing up a guy from the minors, and he's done well. Next man up mentality yet again has come off for the Phils. And it's amazing. All these kids they keep bringing up from the minors just make a big impact because it just shows how badly they want to play for Philadelphia, how badly they want to play for the fans and succeed and help this team get back to the postseason. It was just great to see. A great story, a cherry on top of what was a great weekend. And then last night's win, oh boy, again, through the roller coaster, the highs and lows this team put you through. Unreal. Yet again, the Phillies fell 2-0 down. Yet again, the Phillies kept fighting back. Big RBI from Ellis early in the game. And then the big inning, the 10-man inning. 10 men stepped to the plate in the sixth inning. 4 runs were scored. Harper again with a big double. Turner got on base. Schwarber again, home run. JT brought them home. Great to see JT, two-run RBI as well. Two-run double, sorry. Start again, another 2 hits, another RBI for him. Ellis got an RBI. And it was just, again, the spark was there from the top of the order. Schwarber, Turner, Harper doing their thing. It just raises the team. Everybody else followed. The Phils took the lead. And then, of course, in true, it couldn't be straightforward, could it? It'd been a mental mad weekend. Tatis comes up in the 8th for the bases loaded. Ties the game up 6-6. Padres go ahead again in the 10th. Soto, we said it so many times before in the pod, has this run of great outings and then has that one bad outing where it all just seems to go wrong. It happened in the 10th. Padres took the lead. Up steps Bryce Harper against Josh Hader of all players as well. Harper versus Hader. 2 outs. Harper comes up clutch, ties the game again. Hoffman, we mentioned in the last pod, what a brilliant 2 innings from Hoffman. Kept the Phils in it with some clutch pitching, outstanding pitching. And of course, Rojas with a great bunt to get himself to third. Schwarber brings him home. The Phils win the series. And like we're saying at the top of the show, the Marlins got swept. The Reds got swept. The D-backs got swept. The Braves lost the series. Momentum shifting towards the Phils and into what is going to be a huge series with the Brew Crew. And I'm delighted now, as you can see on my screen, to talk about that big series with the Brew Crew. I am joined by Mark from at UK Brew Crew. Mark, both teams are on fire right now. The Brewers had a great weekend as well. They swept the Reds, who were also red hot going into that series. So this is an important series. Time for both of us for yourselves to really make a stamp on top of the NL Central, for us to stamp our mark in the wild card. The Brewers season so far, I'm looking at your starting pitching. It's been good. You know, it's a tough matchup this week we've got coming up. What's going right for the Brewers at the moment? You're top of the NL Central. has it been helped by the fact that the NL Central's been pretty weak, or are the Brewers looking at a legit team to win the division this year?
Yeah, I think we're the legit team to win the division. I just think every other team's been faltering, and we've pretty much been very constant. We're not electric at the moment. We are doing the right things, but we're not blasting teams away. We're as you say, our pitching's been very good. Our starting pitching hasn't been as good as it has been the last few years, but we've had quite a lot of injuries this year, so we've kind of got by on good pitching and a few kind of people that are hitting. We've not been very good with the bat, and that's been a constant story for the last couple of years, really. We just don't seem to work the bat very well, and we've relied on pitching. But yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, we're confident with our rotation, so we can put ourselves in a position in any game at the moment.
Yeah, the good thing for the Phils, the first game tomorrow night, 11:40 for the UK viewers, is Tehran versus Nolan. Now, Julio Tehran has turned things around. Ooh. Wow, what a, you know, he was playing independent ball last year. Now with an ERA of 3.64, 2-3 on the season. The good thing for the Phils is they know him well. We know him well from the Braves. The players know him well, and I hope that will give us some sort of advantage. You've got game two, Miley versus Sanchez. That should be an interesting one as well. And then, you know, the big one, Thursday. By the way, 5:30 start on Thursday. Really early. Free game of the day, by the way, on MLB TV. But Burns versus Walker, that should be a great matchup. What's the feeling on the Brewers side of things at the moment on the season and the feeling going into this big series?
It's like I say, it's been a bit of a bizarre season because we've been consistently at the top of the division, but the division lead has changed quite a lot. I think the only team that have been consistently bad has been the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, we've had the Pirates at the top of the division for a while. We were at the top of the division for a while. The Reds went on that amazing run, 14, 15 games. And then obviously the Cubs are always just on our heels as well. So it's been quite a tight division. So we've been quite lucky in the fact that we're hitting form at the right time when we've got a lot of games against the Cincinnati Reds as well. So kind of beating them, who, if it wasn't for us, we'd be running away with the division in reality. It's been an interesting season. And last year we fell away after the All-Star game. And I'm hoping that this year we're going to pick it up and we're going to now make a charge because, as I say, missing out on the postseason, especially the first season as an expanded postseason, hurt last year. So, hopefully we'll rectify that this year.
Hi, Mark. What is it, Mark, with the hitting? It looks like Christian Yelich is having a pretty good season. Mm-hmm. Joey Weimer is a good young player who's good, got speed, got some power, looks like a nice addition, come up a bit older for the minor leagues and jumped up straight away. Rowdy Tellez has struggled. He's gone on the IL and was probably injured for a long time. Willie Adames has not been great. I know he's some power there, but struggled. What's going on? Why has it been such a sort of difficult time to get the bats going?
I have no idea. We've been struggling for the last 2 or 3 years. You know, we've consistently struggled. We've been a home run or bust kind of team. And if you're not, you know, if you're not getting bat on ball and you're not scoring those home runs, obviously we're really struggling with the confidence isn't there. Yelich has turned it around. He's looking more like his 2018, 2019 self for the first time in 2 or 3 years. Adames was on fire last year. Tellez was on fire last year, but they've really, really dipped this year. So I don't know. I can't answer what's going wrong. We've had batting coach changes from, was it 2020? I think our batting coaches went to the Reds. We got a new set in. They then got fired because we had awful batting stats. And then, you know, the new guys are in and we're still struggling with the same thing. So nobody can pinpoint it. I have no idea why. It's, you know, on paper, some of these players are good hitters, but they just don't seem to be finding form at the moment.
Yeah, it probably doesn't help that Garrett Mitchell
Yeah. I mean, Garrett Mitchell was on fire before he got that injury. And this has been the story of our season. We've had so many injuries to our first team, you know, our initial 26-man roster. You know, we've got three people that would be in our starting rotation that are currently on the IL in Woodruff. Eric Lauer's coming back. He's on a minor rehab, I think, with Nashville. We've got Aaron Ashby, who has had to basically write off the season with an injury and get surgery. So those are three pretty big players that we had last year that kind of we were going to rely on. So yeah, sort of Teheran coming in and doing what he's doing has been amazing for us, because you know, we were kind of looking at our starting five rotation. We lost three of them pretty early on, and we were literally left with Burns and Peralta, and yeah, we've kind of filled the gap somehow. But yeah, I don't know where Teheran came from. We picked him out of the minor leagues, but yeah, it's he's done us a massive favor.
Well, final one from me, Mark, and then I'll hand you back to Dave, the main man. You sort of say you've found Teheran and Miley, and you're getting that from them somehow, and I get that. That sort of makes me wonder whether are you guys as concerned on the inside as I might be from the outside, that those guys that don't really get a lot of strikeouts are probably due some sort of regression to the mean and probably not going to keep this level of performance up? Or are you more confident than me because you watch them every other night?
No, I'm just taking it as it comes at the moment, to be honest. It's very
enjoy
difficult.
It while it lasts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Wade Miley's been brilliant all season. You know, he started off on fire. He had a month off with injury and he's come back and he's looked just as good. We'll see what happens when Lauer comes back, when Woodruff comes back. You know, it can only strengthen the side. So if they do have some sort of regression, hopefully we've got the cover to replace it. So
hopefully it happens against the Phillies, the regression. That's what
that's where you're going with that, Ryan. Yeah, of course.
Then they can return to form, Mark.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, you know, as long as we're beating the Reds and you know, our division at the moment, I think that's what we've got to concentrate on. Yeah. You know, if we can pick up wins in Philadelphia, you know, if we were to lose the series 2-1, I don't think it would be too much of a drastic thing, because we play the Cincinnati Reds again next week, and you know, we can pick it back up again. So there's no panic at the moment. There's still quite a lot of season to play, but as long as we're kind of keeping ourselves in contention, then we should be all right. I say, looking at what St. Louis have been doing this year is just baffling.
Well, this is shocking, because at the start of the season I was sort of thinking optimistically that the Brew Crew, I thought, were going to go through a bit of a transition and sort of start to rebuild, because you've lost some key players already. I also thought the Cards were going to be not runaway, but them and the Reds were going to have a good hold in the division, and you'll be sort of out of it, then putting us in the, you know, in the Burns sort of, could we go get him at trade deadline? That was optimistic feeling at the start of the season. But all of a sudden, the Cards have just, wow. You know, the Cards are going to turn to sellers. And all of a sudden, you find yourselves, well, as you said, you're quite surprised yourself. You sat there at the top of the division going, what's going on? You know, the trade deadline for you as well is coming up. What do you see the Brewers doing? Because it's an interesting one, because you haven't got the foundations of a team to make a massive, well, you might have, but we don't. At this point, it doesn't look like you've got foundations of a team to make a big postseason run if you got there. But also, you don't want to give up too much, because if you do, you're in this weird... Trent, you're in this weird ground right now, aren't you? You don't want to go too hard, because then you're going to throw away prospects to start a rebuild. I feel you're on the verge of one, but at the same time, when there's the division win dangling right in front of your noses, you know, you got to take it. So what do you want the Brewers to do? What do you see them doing? It's an interesting time for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think at trade deadline, I think we need to get some rental bats. I think we've got a chance to win the division and get into postseason. So we might as well do that whilst we've got Corbin Burns. What Corbin Burns does next year, year after, I don't know. I would be quite surprised if the Brewers traded him away at the moment, because we're in contention. If we were doing a St. Louis Cardinal, then I have a feeling that everything has been traded
that's
out.
That's what I was thinking with the Phillies to be in for Mr. Burns.
I think at the moment, we might as well go for the division. And if we can get a couple of rentals in and go for it, I mean, we could just do a one or bust, you know, just go for it for 6 months. And then, you know, if we don't get there, we don't get there. And then we look at it in the summer again, or summer. I'm talking about football now, aren't I? We look at it in the winter again, don't we? But you know, I mean, Burns is on a big contract. He's £10 million this year, and obviously next year is the last year that he goes into arbitration before becoming a free agent. Can we afford a £15 million pitcher? We've already got Woodruff, who's a 10.8 million as well. You know, so our rotation is costing us a lot of money now. So I think if I was, you know, personally, I think if I was the Brewers, I'd look at it now and think, now's our chance to just blow a load of money, get as much as we can in, and go for it. And if we don't succeed, at least we've looked to try and succeed, and then we'll get rid of all of the money that's going to, or all the players that are going to cost us a lot of money, and start rebuilding from like Mitchell and Weimer and that are coming up through the draft system now and are competing, you know, and they're looking good. So, you know, you're right, we are in a transition, but we've been in a transition for 10 seasons, I guess, because we're a small
series run. Nearly World Series run anyway.
Yeah, it was close, wasn't it? But we're a small market team, so we can't afford the big contracts. We can't afford to just go out and blow, you know, do a Bryce Harper contract. Yeah. So when we signed Jelic for that 10-year deal at 100 and whatever it was million, it was big money for us. And we can't afford those sorts of deals too often. Personally, and I think a lot of the fans are, you know, we're 52nd season now. We've not had a World Series ever. Why don't you just go for it and see what you can do? And if it doesn't work this year, then at least you can say you've gone for it, and we'll take 5 years of rebuild to go for it again. You know,
that's it. Well, again, like we saw with us last year, you just got to get in, and then you just don't know what you might catch fire at the right time.
Exactly.
This is a big series for both of us. What is your prediction, buddy? What are you thinking?
Tough one. It depends how you cope with our pitching, because your bats are obviously a bit stronger than ours. So if we can keep you down to one run, then we've got a chance. You know, if we can keep you down to one or two runs, then, you know, Corbin Burns and the likes can have a good six or seven innings, and then we can get ourselves into bringing in Devon Williams to close it out. Then we've got every chance. But it's all dependent on keeping the score down with us, because we're not the sort of team that goes out and scores six or seven runs a game. So I mean, the fact that it's in Philly, and obviously there's a very partisan crowd in Philly, isn't it? So if we can get if we can get one game out of the three, I'd be happy. Obviously, I'd like us to win the series, but you know, as long as we don't get swept, then I think we're still in a good position, because that means that the Reds, who are two games behind us, have to win all three of their games in order to kind of tie the division. So, one game is the minimum we need. And I wouldn't be surprised if you went on and won the series 2-1, but obviously, with Burns coming in for the third game, if it's tied 1-1, then you're going to be hard pressed to try and break him down unless he's having a really, really off day.
Yeah, no, that's true. I'm sort of hoping the Phils have got the business done by that one. But then Taijuan Walker's having a really good season as well, so that should be a really tasty matchup. Mark, thank you very much for joining us on, mate. Good luck up the Albion.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I was going to say, it's going to be a good week for being in Philadelphia this year as well.
Whatever happens, at least Brighton are going to Philly on Saturday.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we got that to look forward to as well after. But Mark, Ryan, Mark, all the best, mate. We'll catch up soon.
And you, mate. Yeah. Cheers.
Nice to see you, Mark.
And you, mate. Good luck for the rest of the season as well.
You too.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Cheers. Great, Ryan, great to hear from Mark there for the Brewers' chances. And it's an interesting point of view, because, of course, they're fighting for all they're looking at is the Reds right now. So an interesting point of view that if they lose two and avoid getting swept, they're still going to be ahead of the Reds, which is all that matters for them. I can't see the players taking that same approach, because they're going to come to Philly and win.
Let's hope the players are thinking about it like that. We'll just take one. That'll be fine. I'm happy with 2-1. I agree with what the three pitchers are having a good season. I still stand by what I said. I think Tehran and Miley can still be attacked, especially by our guys that are good with the bats. So Burns, he is good. I want to win the series. I'd be disappointed if we don't win the series. And I want to sweep the series, so let's see how tasty it can get.
That's true. We've got to keep the momentum going now. You know, we've done all that against the Padres. We can't then lose a series to the Brewers. You know, just then, just like, Come on,
well,
really?
If we win this series 2-1, we've come out of the All-Star break 5-2. I mean, that's huge. That's huge.
It is huge. And the Braves have got an interesting week coming up as well. They've got the D-backs, and then they've got... It's just slipped my mind. I'll come to
you
in a minute.
I know the Reds are facing the Giants, so they can't both win. So
exactly. So, yeah.
Someone's dropping some games, so let's see how it goes.
Yeah, it's sort of time now for the Phils to kick on. And then we've got the Guardians after that, who are in a terrible AL Central right now. So, again, opportunity for the Phils to kick on. Who have the Braves got? It's going to bug me. They've got the D-backs this week, and then they've got... Come on. Oh, the Brewers straight after. So, yeah, this is the big stretch for the Brewers then. But, Ryan, you're predicting two at least. Win the series, sweep would be a bonus. I'm feeling the same. I trust this team. I really trust this team to get the job done. I just don't see us dropping these two games. I think we can sweep this. The Phils go very well against the Brewers. It's one of our what's the opposite of bogey team? Good team to play. We have a lot of luck against the Brewers. And I think now with the Giants and Reds playing each other, the Brewers and Reds playing each other a lot, they're going to take games off each other. It's time for us to now just keep winning series and keep, because I firmly believe we're going to finish top of the wild card. I think we're going to get the first place in the wild card at least. And I think we're going to do it quite comfortably. Now, if we can get within...
What do you mean, at least? Are you leaving the division win open?
Look, if we can get within 7-8 wins of the Braves come end of July, which is possible, we're 8.5 back now.
Remind me of that season. You weren't watching at the time, but remind me of a season prior to the World Series win where we came back on the Mets late on. I think it might have been 2007, actually.
It's 07. I know it was, before my fandom, but it was 07.
Oh, my God. That was crazy. That was like literally what... That was a meltdown. That was a meltdown by the Mets. That was great fun.
Yeah. The only problem is that was a true lol Mets. This is the Braves. they haven't got as big a reputation of meltdown.
That is true.
Like
the Braves are pretty good. Yeah, I agree.
Doing it again.
It might take Braves, a similar level.
That White Sox series defeat for them, maybe, you know, it's just, again, we've just got to keep winning series. If the Braves start falling back, because we've got to play them four times still.
Let's just concentrate on eight games, because
our August looks pretty good, you know, on paper. I know baseball's not bad on paper, but you know, we have a very optimal August, and if we can get within 7-8 games of the Braves going into August, hey, you know what? It's not out the question. I'm not ruling it out yet. This is what the Phils do to me, Ryan. They win a few games. That's it. Bring on the Braves.
No, it's a big opportunity. And then, like you say, we go to Cleveland. A bit weird. We're on like a quick road trip and then back to Philly, I think. So
we've got a lot of home games coming up.
Yeah, it's great. It's great fun. I think we can do it. Let's do it this week. I'm going to say that we take 2 of 3, but you, Dave, you're going to say that we sweep, aren't you?
I'm saying we sweep them, mate. I'm saying we keep it rolling. We keep rolling. I'm saying by the end of the week, by Sunday, here you go, Ryan, by Sunday, the Phils are in the top wildcard place and within 8 games of the Braves. Saying it.
Boom.
just very quickly, say great weekend. The only minor is Drew Ellis and Derek Hall. I don't think their stays in the majors are going to last too long. Hall, 2 errors in the series at first base. Bryce is going to be at first base against the Brewers. That's going to be interesting. It's interesting what the Phils do, because there could be a potential logjam, because Pache, they reckon, is only a few weeks back by mid-August. That's going to be interesting. Marsh, Pache, Rojas, if he's still doing what he's doing right now. Casty, Schwarber, playing DH and outfield. Very interesting what the Phils do there. Phils have got some options all of a sudden springing up as well. Let's see how Harper does. Topper didn't rule out Harper playing in the outfield as well towards the back end of this season. So again, the logjam is just going to get even bigger. We'll adjust that when it gets nearer. But Drew Ellis and Rojas, Drew Ellis and Hall, I don't think they're going to last too much longer. Casty's cold. I think, again, the beauty of this team is when someone gets cold, the rest of the team all of a sudden get hot and pick them up. So Casty riding a bit of a cold spell right now, but with Trey coming back to form, with JT getting some clutch hits, Harper coming back, Schwarber coming back, stop being great. I think we've been slightly let off with the Castellanos cold spell. And it's slightly going under the radar because everybody else is, of course, picking him up. And finally, Chase Utley. Chase Utley on last night's broadcast. Well, it was great to see him on for an inning and a half. Talking about London, life in London, the Phils, the London series, the programs they've got going on over here. Did you see him, Ryan?
I didn't. I must admit, with the rain delay last night, I sound like, working early this morning. I went to bed about, actually, the Phillies were 3-0 down when I went to bed. And similar to the start of the series, I was thinking, oh, there's no way they're going to win this. They'll blow this now. They had a good day yesterday. that sounds a bit negative, but I was delighted when I woke up this morning. I just saw the score on my app, which was great. I didn't see Chase. I wish I had. What did he have to say for himself? He's just bigging up London?
Bigging up the London series, trying to convince John Kruk and Schmitty to get out there as well. But he's such a great ambassador. You know, he's such a classy man. Again, just Chase being Chase. Cool, calm. The man, you know, just watch it. And just hearing him talk about London and the Phils being at London next year, that's just, again, it's sort of a pinch me moment. You know, Chase Utley sat there next to John Kruk, next to Schmitty, talking about the Phils coming to London next year. And again, if you're listening to this, guys, and you want any information about London series, any queries, any recommendations, either tag me on Twitter. Good old Elon has stopped you DMing now on Twitter. You've got to be verified. It's whatever. So just to tag me in a post and I'll pick it up and I'll respond to you or on Facebook or on Instagram as well. But yes, I'm saying it now, Ryan. By Sunday, we'll be top of the wild card seedings and we'll be within 8 games of the Braves. I'm telling you now, when we pod next week with Alex back here as well, we're going to be in a great place, Ryan.
I tend to agree. Well, you know, I tend to agree. I'm trying to stay calm. But we're looking good, mate. Things are looking good. And hey, Leeds signed a player today. Things are crazy.
Whoa,
right now.
What? Brighton had their kit launched. Leeds have signed a player. What a day.
It's crazy.
Ryan, we will resume next week. Alex will be back next week as well. We'll be up to full strength for previewing the Brewers in the Guardian series. But guys, as ever, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. From me, Dave Shaw, it is Ring the Bell. And from Alex.
Well, I'm Ryan.
Oh, no, Ryan. I'm so sorry, Ryan.
I'll say Ring the Bell. I'm sure that somewhere Alex is saying Ring the Bell.
That was habit. Sorry,
he
Ryan.
Says it in
Ryan,
his sleep.
Ring the Bell.
Ring the Bell.